You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
It says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. To hear a lot of the Bible and not to do anything about it just results in self-deception. So one way to define mature Christian character is love. Another way is obedience, and obedience is the same as love, really, because we're commanded to love, so they go hand in hand anyway. A third way of looking at this, and maybe the best way, if you want one blanket statement, what does mature Christian character look like? And the answer is, it looks like Christ. Christ-likeness.
As you grow in maturity through the trials you experience, God will bring you closer and closer to completion. He will continue a great sanctifying work in your life as you endure through hardships. Pastor Tom will teach you today that eventually, in completeness, you will have a deep and sacrificial love for others, as well as a greater obedience to God's word. You'll learn how to rejoice in suffering and trials because God is doing a great work in you. He is making you more and more like Jesus. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Trials, Pathway to Maturity, Part 3.
Some long for their anger to be replaced by contentment and forgiveness and trust in God. Some people just get angry all the time because they don't trust God with the details of life. Everything has to be a certain way. When it's not that way, they just don't trust God. It's got to be the way they envision it to be, and that's why they're angry. Others wish they could see more progress on their jealous attitudes because they're possessive about things, and they have to learn to let go. Others know their lust is enjoyable only for the moment, followed by shame and discouragement and discontentment. And they're trying to figure out, why don't I get beyond that? It's because you're focused on you so much. Lust is not love. Love, and you won't have lust. Learn more about love. The Holy Spirit puts it in the hearts of believers, a longing to change, a longing to be complete. That's why people seek out being admonished and seek out counseling, biblical counseling. We want to be consistent, more consistent, righteous, loving, worshipful, believing. Don't you look forward to the day when someone comes up, curses you to your face, and you're like, you return a blessing instead of a curse, Romans 12, right? The Holy Spirit is in us. We have a new nature, and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it creates in us a longing for what? What you're longing for, don't realize it, is Christ-like character. In case you're feeling pretty bad about yourself and where you are on that pathway, I want you to know there isn't one person that has perfect Christ-like character. So you're among friends. You're the same thing. I don't want anyone to know the dark thoughts of my mind, and nor does the other person want you to know the dark thoughts of his mind. When you're hypocritical, when you put on a show. We get that. We're the same personality. We're the same sinners. We share it, unfortunately. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image that is Christ, from glory to glory. It's a process. Did you see that word perfect in verse 4? Some of you may have had a slightly different translation there. The word perfect, I think, needs to be thought about a little bit. It's teleos. It does not mean sinless perfection. Thank God, right? Actually, it can't mean sinless perfection. Later, James writes in this very epistle in chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. Now, he's talking about the tongue there, but he expands it beyond the tongue. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So here, he can't mean perfect in the sense of sinless perfection because he says we all stumble in many ways, and James was a mature believer. Teleos does not mean sinless perfection, and the translation is potentially misleading. Its primary meaning is this, that which has been brought to an end. In other words, you go through a training process, and you come out the end having completed the training. You're now fully developed. You passed. Move on. Scripture and experience tells us that the believer does not reach sinless perfection in this life. Even the Roman Catholic Church acknowledged this and came up with a doctrine which is not in the Bible, the idea of purgatory, that if we don't get everything burned out of our life through trials now, then we have to go to purgatory maybe for a few million years and suffer there in a temporary consequences for our sin till eventually we can become perfect and get into heaven. Thank God that is not the truth. The truth is, for the believer, wherever he is in the midst of his process of sanctification, when the Lord comes or when we die, we go instantly to the presence of God. There is no purgatory. That would be salvation by works anyways. Us doing it. The battle that every believer is in is mentioned in Galatians 5. I say, walk by the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. Walk in step with the Holy Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The flesh is there. The flesh has a desire. The flesh sometimes seems daunting. The flesh lies. The flesh maneuvers. The flesh craves. But we have the Holy Spirit, and we have a promise that's greater than the flesh. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And if you've experienced that, you know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But then he says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. You're always having a battle. It's never all one way. If you say, I want to just give in and I just want to go sin, you won't find peace. And then when you try to live for the Lord, the flesh doesn't leave you alone, the world doesn't leave you alone, and the devil loves to target you. The same text that promises growth and victory reminds us we always have to struggle. Otherwise, there's no sense in Paul exhorting it. Same is true in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Why does he even have to write that to believers? Because sometimes we let ourselves obey the lusts that are inside, right? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves. You have to do this as a believer. Present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. He's talking about spiritual new birth here, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Take my hands, Lord. Take my eyes. Take my body. Use me. I want to be used for righteousness. You see, there's a positive pursuit we are to have, not just trying to stop sin, but pursue something. And then it ends with this promise, similar to Galatians, for sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law. Law could only condemn you. You are under grace. The management of grace is at work in you and building godliness through you. Now, that's not instant. But it comes. So though you have the power, you and I don't fully know how to use the power. We sometimes don't even think that power is actually there. That's how out of touch we are with it. This maturity is not that which will happen instantly. This refers to ripeness and richness of character and understanding, not a babe, but a mature person. If you like a simple formula and you're getting lost in all of this, write this down. You're kind of like the engineer mind. Here it is, okay? Trials plus the continuance of faith equals endurance, okay? Trials plus the continuance of faith equals endurance. Endurance plus God's work over time equals maturity of Christian character. Endurance plus God's work over time equals maturity of Christian character. I ask you again, do you even want to be mature? Do you? What is maturity then? Well, James doesn't tell us. I mean, back in verse 2, we were wondering what trial he had in mind, and he said variety. So he's talking about a variety. And then here, like, well, what is that mature character? And he doesn't actually state one spiritual quality. But if we were to look throughout the book of James and we were to expand through the New Testament, we would say, what does the completion of Christian character look like? We might be able to boil it down to three things here. Really, any one of these would be a good answer to the question, but I'm going to give you all three. And even before I give you all three, I want you to notice that it says perfect, and then it says complete or whole. Complete or whole. Literally, that word there describes something that has all of its parts. If you buy something and it's missing some of the parts, that's a bummer. You take it back. You want the whole thing there, right? Well, you need to be whole and complete. You can have this part, that part, that part, but you also need to have this character. And that's what's happening is you're okay, you're doing fine there, you're a good example here, but what about here, here, and here, right? You're incomplete. That needs to be worked on. Same with me. We call those our weak areas. Sit down, you're told in a job interview. Tell us your strengths. Now tell us your weaknesses. You know, you always try to make your weaknesses sound like strengths. Be humble. Say, but I want to get the job. Be humble. God will give you the job. God will give you the right job. Be humble. Same thing with Christianity. What are your strengths? Well, I have a lot of mercy. Do you have a lot of discernment? What's that? Or vice versa. That word, by the way, complete or whole, is used in Acts 3:16, using a physical illustration of the lame man. Remember him? Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. You know that song? And Peter grabs him by the hand, lifts him up. Now he can walk. He doesn't give him silver or gold. And then Peter said to the others who saw this, the faith which comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. Same word. Translates the same word. Complete now. Before he couldn't walk, now he can walk. He's whole. He's complete. So in present, character-wise, you and I are incomplete. We lack some of the qualities that God wants us to have. Or maybe it'd be better to say it this way. We have some of that quality, but it hasn't emerged the way it needs to. I have some love, but I need more love. I have some joy, but I need to experience and express more joy. I have some of the peace of God, but as it says, that it passes understanding. I don't know that my mind has entered into that yet. So there's more that needs to emerge. There's some patience, not enough. There's some gentleness, not enough. And so there's still more that needs to grow, right? Are you in that category? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we want maturity. We want completion. What is that? Well, first of all, it's greater love. You can write that down. What does completion of character look like? The love command is the one that really sums up all the others. Paul wrote in Romans 13 that love does no wrong to a neighbor, so that's a pretty powerful attribute. In James 2:8, love is called the royal law. Jesus said that love is the fulfillment of the whole law of God. Wow, that's powerful. Love in all of its dimensions. Some people want to act like they know God well and be mature. They want to present themselves. I have such a strong spiritual life. They talk the right lingo, strong theological terminology. They're busy at church. They're involved in three committees. But they're proud and they're selfish. And those that know them well know that. Christians who have all the completed parts love other people. They're approachable. They're humble. People flock to them because they know they're ready to serve and they're ready to care. They're not judgmental and critical of other people. They just want to serve. They'll speak the truth to them, but they do it very humbly. That's love. I would add a second. Completed Christian character is also obedient to God's word. Obedient to God's word. James emphasizes obedience throughout this entire letter. Good works, wise behavior, obedient faith. James 2:14, we'll get to in a while, says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? There's obedience. Look down at James chapter 1, verses 22 and following. It says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. To hear a lot of the Bible and not to do anything about it just results in self-deception. So one way to define mature Christian character is love. Another way is obedience, and obedience is the same as love, really, because we're commanded to love, so they go hand in hand anyway. A third way of looking at this, and maybe the best way, if you want one blanket statement, what does mature Christian character look like? And the answer is, it looks like Christ. Christ-likeness, we call it. In Ephesians 4:13, it speaks of the entire church there, and it says they need to grow up and become mature, and it says they need to become one mature man, and then it equates that maturity with the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the standard, the fullness of Christ, it even says there. In Colossians 1:28, Paul described his ministry. He said, we proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. God wants completion, mature, Christ-like character. When some people ask, what's the goal that you leaders have for the church? I'll go to this passage here. We want every man complete in Christ. We want the church as a whole growing up together in a unity, mature in Christ. Yet, we know that whatever we teach, preach, do, that God has a broader discipleship program than just what we do. God decides that, okay, you're hearing some stuff in church, that's good, check that off. You're having your devotion time and reading, you got your little, that's good, just check that thing off. And then you picked up that book, that's a good book, good, check that thing off. But you're going to need a little more. You're going to need some tough stuff. You're going to need to go through some things. You're going to need to go through things you wouldn't choose for yourself. You're going to need to go through some things you'd probably want to run from. So I'm going to bring it into your marriage. He said, God's evil. No, he's not. He means it for good. The devil's evil. He wants to tear you down. So he brings it with the kids. This is what having kids is like. I mean, these kids just disobey all the time. And they're not grateful. Okay, good. Now you know how God feels about you. But he doesn't reproach his children. He loves them. He's going to bring tough stuff in the job. Why does it have to be this way? The economy's so bad. And then there's an illness. That's the one I run from. Dear God in heaven, please go slow with me on that one. Then there's dangers. All of a sudden, you're in the midst of a danger. You're like, why did I have that? Something scary in the middle of the night, you know? Scrambling for calling the, you can't even remember 911. You're so nervous. Why did that happen? Lord has a good purpose in it. Finances. Oh, constant difficulty with finances. Why can't I just win the lottery and get it over with? Well, you learn things. You learn to prioritize. You learn not to covet. You learn that you need to learn to be happy with that old ugly sofa. You get neglected by people. You don't really think you're the only one neglected by people, do you? You're not. Persecution. Jesus said, rejoice. Your reward in heaven is great when you're persecuted. Certainly God has designed the teaching of Scripture to mature us. We know the passages. I'm not preaching on that this morning. 2 Timothy 3:17, a man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work according to the Word of God. If we work hard at teaching, admonishing, proclamation, we will see maturity develop. That's what we do. But often we churchgoers don't hear the word properly as we ought to, and so God uses trials. God uses trials to work us to completion. Some of you are removed far from loved ones. Why? Maybe. I'm going to guess here. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out, but maybe it's so you can learn to love God more. Maybe you need to be weaned from some people whom you were clingy to so that you can learn your relationship with God better. Ever think of that? Or to focus on what he wants you to focus on. Some of you are suffering with family problems. What does that do? You need more wisdom. I thought I was a pretty good dad already, but now you're going to need more wisdom. Now you have to learn. If the trial didn't come, it wouldn't push you along. You wouldn't be seeking out what else is lacking in your life. It kind of keeps you moving along, doesn't it? Some of you dealing with a difficult person. Learn to be gracious. Learn to bite your tongue. You know, he who restrains his lips is what? Wise. Some of you are dealing with tight finances. We already talked about that. Some of you are facing an illness. But illness, I could tell you one thing the Word of God does say about it. It gets us ready for eternity, does it not? It helps us to appreciate our health more when we have it. The lessons are many. If you'll carefully examine what God is doing, no matter what God is doing, even if any of those answers really didn't satisfy you, he's always molding you into Christ-likeness. Can you rejoice in that? He doesn't want you just to be a man of knowledge and discernment, a man with a strong sense of justice. He wants you to be a man of mercy. I mean real, gentle, humble mercy. He wants to put that into your life. Is a man Christ-like who cries against the sins in others but's not approachable by sinners himself? Not at all. Is a man complete who holds strong convictions from God's word but can't get along with others in church? No, he's missing basic things. We had a gentleman recently. He didn't want to join the church. Someone asked him, why don't you want to join the church? Because I want to always be able to criticize the elders. If I join the church, I won't be able to criticize. He's a freeloader. My, the blind spots we carry around. Is that a mature man? Ladies, God doesn't want you just to have self-control. God bless you if you have that. God doesn't just want you to be a woman of faithfulness. God bless you if you've been tested in that area. He wants you also to be a woman of wisdom. How do you handle all those things in life? Some of you handle it by dropping one area of your life and not doing it. That's not wisdom. Wants you to be a woman of graciousness too. Are you that way? God wants you to learn stamina, not to give up so quickly. Again, our various parts are being honed and tempered and brought together to make a dynamic, Christ-like person. And I say again, in that, you can rejoice. Indeed, we must rejoice. That's the right way to approach it. Hebrews 12. We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he, God, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's where God's taking you. To those who are already saved, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, applying all diligence, notice that, all diligence, in your faith, so these are saved people, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, Add to that self-control, and to your self-control, perseverance, and to your perseverance, godliness, and your godliness, brotherly kindness, and all the way up with the brotherly kindness, add love. And then he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep growing after salvation. I know we have to end with the question, why? Why, Lord, am I going through the trial? If you love me, just remove the trial. Well, he's already told us why. Sometimes we're going through a trial due to sin. Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. Sometimes God takes us through the trial just to show off our strong faith that he has put in us, such as the man Job. Sometimes trials just make us long for the perfections of heaven more, so we loosen our grip on all the things that we cling to in this world. And we need to loosen it because all of life is preparation for the end of life. Did you think of that? Romans 8:23, we groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. When you're young and everything's good with your body, that verse doesn't appeal to you as much, but when you get older, that thing comes sweeter. Listen, sometimes we go through the pain just so we can dance more with more joy when glory finally arrives. Paul said, I consider the sufferings of these present time not even worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. Every single trial mounted on top of one another will look like a tiny little pea compared to all the glory I'm going to get. You have to focus on that. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me, Jesus said. Boy, that sounds so backwards. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. If you could just see it, and you can see it a little bit with the eyes of faith right now. One answer you can always give to why is God doing this? He wants to make you whole, complete, mature, like Jesus, because he loves you. Please don't wallow in your self-pity. Don't give others the silent treatment. Roll your eyes at life. Hide in your little corner of the world, sour in your heart. Put away all that stoic response to life and your despair. The way out of despair is not a pill. It's faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door and lets you out of the dungeon of despair. That's in Pilgrim's Progress. Take the advice of God through James. Rejoice when you get a trial. Sing for joy. Clap your hands. God is at work in you. Let the trials make you sweeter instead of bitter. If there was anybody who had the right to be angry at life and to become bitter and to hate life and set a terrible example for the rest of us, if there's anyone who had that right, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and did nothing but heal and love others and give of himself. And what did he get back for it? He got spit in the face. He got a crown of thorns on the head. His friends ran away from him. His enemies mocked him. He got scourged and crucified and abandoned and misunderstood. And he kept saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't have to grow in Christ-like character. He already had it. And he was joyful. He was a man of sorrows because of the sin of the world, but in his relationship with God, he was joyful. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before Christ, he endured the cross. Are you walking in the master's steps? That's where it leads. Maybe you're not even saved. You're not sure you're saved. You've been to church. You heard some of this stuff before. You need to humble your heart and turn back to Christ. He loves you. No one will ever love you like Christ. That's not a cliche. No one knows you better. No one knows your future. No one cares about you. No one works to your benefit more than Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him today and quit delaying. You can have life.
You endure through trials, James taught, so that you can be complete in Christ. Ultimately, you will look like Christ. You will be more loving and will serve God and others as you obey God's word. Today, Pastor Tom taught about how enduring through trials eventually brings you to maturity and a deeper resemblance to Jesus. If you focus on the glory to come, you can rejoice in any trial knowing God is using it for your good. We're so glad you joined us today on Discover Hope. We'd like to meet you. So if you're in the area, come visit us at Hope Bible Church. Our Sunday mornings include Bible classes at 9:30 a.m., followed by a worship service at 11 a.m. You can find out more at hopebible.org or give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to invite you to join us in bringing the kingdom of God and the joy of salvation to our listeners by becoming a financial partner of Discover Hope. Find out more under the Giving tab at hopebible.org. Trials in life often cause you to seek wisdom from God. Sometimes this wisdom helps you to know how to respond or behave, or it simply may be wisdom in how to endure in a godly way. When you join us next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will discuss your need for wisdom in the midst of trials and how God has the wisdom you need. He delights to give you wisdom if you earnestly seek it. There's much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll tune in next time. If you'd like to listen again to today's teaching or share it with friends and family, you'll find it online at hopebible.org. Thanks for joining us on Discover Hope.